So you can tell we got something different this morning. Well, first of all, this guy's here. Pastor Rick's back. Yay. What we're going to do is we're going to, after last week's message, which was, you know, giving and receiving God's discipline, and I knew that when we got to the end of it, there was parts of it that we had not touched on or fully explained. And so after the first service, Rick was here and said, "Hey, I really feel like we should follow up on that." And I said, "Great." So rather than a planned message, this is a conversation.
It won't be a complete monologue, but probably I'll do the bulk of the talking. Of it,
yeah. I talked a lot last week, so.
Yeah, you got your part in.
Lloyd's working on a screen here, but in the meantime, what we talked about last week, you're on the big screen, so that's good, all right? So the main point of last week's message when we talk about discipline is that giving and receiving God's loving discipline is what yields the blessing of strengthening our flesh to be a support to our spirit. And that's what exponentially grows our maturity, okay? Discipline is all about subjecting our flesh, and rather than letting it being the weak thing that takes us off track or works against us in our goal of becoming more like Christ, that we train it, we discipline it, and it becomes an asset that then pulls us forward towards that goal, that transformation process. So, and really, when we talk about discipline, whether it's how we discipline our kids or what we're going to talk about today in God disciplining us, it is all a reflection of His incredible love for us, that God does not discipline us in anger. He restrains Himself. And so in the same way, when we discipline our kids, and I know our world right now does not want to say, it wants to say that disciplining your kids is a bad thing, that it's all that, you know, and because there's been abuses, because the enemy has taken what God has intended and established and twisted it and perverted it and corrupted it. But just because the enemy does that does not mean that we shy away from it and say, "Well, we're just throwing the whole thing out." No, we come back to what God's word says, and we're going to do it the way God said, and so we can experience His blessing. So that's what we covered last week. But what we did not really get into is how God disciplines us, which was what the Holy Spirit spoke to Rick, and so that's where we want to start today. So I have Hebrews 12. Do you want to read it? Thanks, Lloyd. Do you want us to read Hebrews 12?
That'd be great. Yeah, I always start out with the scripture. Absolutely.
Okay. So this was our main verse for our main passage for last week. Let's read it nice and loud together, all right, to cement in our minds what we're talking about today. This is from Hebrews 12. So are you with me? Here we go. "And you have forgotten the exhortation that is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons."
Just stop there a moment. This is the one thing that I know the Bible says you can distinguish between a believer and a non-believer. A believer is going to be continually disciplined throughout their life as a believer until they go home to be with Him. A non-believer is not disciplined by the Lord. Okay? And I'll be explaining that more as we go. God tries to work with them. He brings outside witnesses to them. But the scriptures are very plain. Their reward comes at the end when they are eternally punished for rejecting Him and not repenting. They're not disciplined in the moment, moment by moment, day by day, to help them stay on the path of the righteous. It's a huge, huge difference.
Amen.
Amen.
It's dangerous.
It got real quiet.
Well, it's dangerous to give two preachers an open mic because you just want to like, no, let's just move on. All right, so let's read on. "Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live?"
Let me just interject here real quick. Just throwing stuff in here, okay? All of us had different kinds of fathers. But more importantly, all of us have different kinds of personalities. Okay, so here's the thing. Our earthly fathers had to deal with us according to who we were and our personality. I got a whooping almost every day. Right? because I learn by testing boundaries. Most people aren't like that. Most people are smarter than that. Right? Now, when you go to be with the, as you give your life to the Lord, it's going to be the exact same kind of thing. Whatever kind of personality you have, that's how you're going to receive God's discipline. Right? Now, let me say right. First of all, any wise parent is first of all going to talk and instruct. Right? In a path, we're on a path of life. Every path has got choices. Here's a fork. Yes or no, going this direction. So a good parent is going to say, hey, why don't you take this direction? Now, a good child will say, oh, yeah, sure, thanks for the info. Right? Now, here's the whole thing. Discipline of the Lord is to train us and teach us how to say yes to Him, because He knows best and which way we should go to have our best life. Right? And so just like any good parent, initially he'll say, you should go this direction. And we'll say no, just like, and, you know, and this is gonna happen like every day. You're gonna be having these, if you're a believer, you're gonna be having these conversations with the Lord every day. Last Sunday, I'm sitting there in the chair and Cliff's talking, and God says, Rick, I want you to share with him and share next week your experiences, because this is your life, how I've disciplined you. And I said, no, Lord, I'm really on sabbatical right now. Well, you know, how did that go over? You know, he just, Rick, haven't you learned from now, you don't say no. You don't say no to me, you say yes to me, right? And that's the thing, that when you love somebody and you commit your life to them, you're always saying yes. The promises of the Lord are yes. They are not no, they are always yes. When you marry someone, and this is why it's important to choose who you marry, you are saying, I am always going to say yes to you. You don't have the right to say no anymore. Nancy said last night, I don't know what, hey, I've got all these big tablecloths to fold. Can you help me fold them? And you know, maybe 20 years ago, I'd have said, do I have to? Last night I said, sure, honey, absolutely. I'd love to help you fold the tablecloths from the women's brunch. Right? You learn to say yes. When God says do something, that's why baptism is so foundational. You can say, yeah, I prayed the sinner's prayer. I said yes to the Lord. But nobody really knows if that's true until you get wet for Jesus. Then you've said yes. And instead of saying, no, I don't need that. Nah, I don't want that. Blah, 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 I can't talk. Nah. Yes. Okay, Lord, yes. When you train, this one of the Lord is to say yes to the Lord. And, you know, are we good to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
I love how, you know, Jen, you know, in her prayer, Lord, teach us your ways. That's what discipline is about, teaching us your ways, right? In Psalm 32, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Any good parent does that, watching their child. I'm going to teach you which way you should go. Thanks, Dad. I know better than you. You're an old fogey. This is a whole new world. We got a whole new set of laws now, rules and values. Right? Do not be as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding. Right? This was my life. I just constantly bucked against God. You know, I trained horses. I know how tough it is. So I identify with the horse. I don't understand what you want me to do, Lord. Right? Okay, well then we'll go the next step. And after the instruction and the teaching, next comes the warning, the threat. Right? After the warning and the threat, if we continue to go on the wrong path, comes the infliction of pain. Right? Now, you know, you've probably heard my testimony. I'm not going to go over my whole story. I say I gave my life to Jesus when I was 19. The truth is, I mean, the real fact is at 12, I went to the altar at Herndon Camp and gave my heart to the Lord. At 15, I asked my mom to pray for me so I wouldn't go to hell, you know, at night, at bedtime prayer. Later on in that year, I got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and God spoke to me in an audible voice and said, Rick, I want you to preach my word. And I said, no, I'm not going to do what my dad did. And then that's when my life started getting tough. He was very gentle with me. Later on, I went out for football. I was going to be a football player. You know, a big lineman stepped on my foot, broke my foot. First day of school, I'm going in. This is a new school. I hadn't ever been this. I'm going into the school on crutches. That is the discipline of the Lord. I said no to the Lord, and bad things started to happen. See, whenever there's pain involved, you have to ask, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? So I spent that year out, and I'm going to beef up. My head comes to the shoulders of everybody else on the football team, right? And I'm going to beef up. So I started working out like crazy. I'm bench pressing down in the basement, and this arm bends over backwards from an old injury. Yeah, that was painful. I went to the hospital, and they put screws in it. That's the discipline of the Lord, me saying, I'm going to do it my way, Lord. Now, he allowed me to beef up, and I was able to play football, blah, blah, blah. But by the time I was 17, I was in full rebellion. My dad and I had a fist fight because I wouldn't go to church anymore. And things just getting darker and darker. And this misery, this sense of darkness, this downward emotional spiral is the discipline of the Lord when we say no to him. It's a dark emotional time when you say no to the Lord. And that is the pain. That is the discipline. And that's why it's so important that we learn to say yes. Because, you know, like last week I was saying, you know, I told Cliff, I think we just need some examples of what is the discipline of the Lord like. What does it feel when you're being disciplined by the Lord? You know?
I was just going to say something like, that whole, we talk about like discipline, why our culture says it's a bad thing, because you have to backtrack it to the folks who don't understand this, who have rejected God, and so they don't use it correctly, and so they don't start with reasoning and correct and logic. They jump right to the punishments. So it's been inflicted incorrectly, so people they don't get the reward out of it because it's not in their best interest. Because it's the, you know, someone who lashes out in anger, they're not in control of their own stuff, right? So now we're propagating that further. And so we have this continual cycle now, this generational curses that go forward, and things get worse, you know. Whereas the one, you know, we're about instituting generational blessings, saying, okay, I know, you know, maybe my dad didn't, you know, discipline me the correct way, but I'm not going to follow that example. I'm going to do it the way God said, so I can institute blessing for the next generation, so that my kid learns it, so they can pass it on, and things get better for them rather than getting worse, which is kind of what the point they're making here in Hebrews 12.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I believe that there's three major areas where we experience the discipline of the Lord. The first one is finances. The second one is relationships, and the third one is our health, where we just disregard the instructions in God's word. And he talks to us, he tries to instruct us, warnings come, and yet we still plow on in the way that we say that we're going to do it, and next thing you know, we got big problems, and we find ourselves in real difficulty. Now, you know, let me just go back. You know, when I gave my heart to the Lord at 19, and again, you know, he said, I want you to preach my word. I said, no, I'm going to be a doctor. So I went to pre-med, right? Again, when you say no to the Lord, he begins to do things in your life that make it intolerable. And he does it in a way that is, he's such a good father. He does it in a way that ultimately he brings us around to his way of thinking, because he knows, he knew I'd be a terrible doctor. I mean, Nancy tells me that all the time.
I just had the same thought. Picturing your bedside manner would be.
So, hey, God knows best, right? But we get it in our head, you know, and David talks a lot about you know, the proud doer. And it all comes down to pride. You know, I know what's best. I know what I want to do. But God knows best. He knows how to direct us. He knows how to take us. You know, and so anyway, ultimately, you know, I did all this planning. I did all this, you know, pre-med stuff. Did all the M stats. I applied to three medical schools. And, you know, and I went, and they said, you know, Collins, you know, your passion is religion, not medicine. What are you doing here? Right? Well, you know, again, the discipline of the Lord. He can use all kinds of things to direct our path. But, you know, I could have got mad and like, or I could have said, okay, Lord, this is your discipline. This is you instructing, teaching, warning, threatening. If I continue to go down this path, I mean, there was a doctor that we knew that said, Rick, I can get you into a medical school. Right? I could have, you know, went down that path, but at the same time, down deep inside, I knew that what God wanted me to do. And so at that point, I said yes. When we started, you know, when I got kicked out of the denominational church, you know, and that was not a bad thing. Right? I mean, that was God's direction. He said, Rick, ride this horse till you get bucked off. I got bucked off. It was all good. But then he said to me, Rick, I want you to start a church in this area. I have no one who will preach my uncompromised word. And what did I say? No. You know, I mean, he had given us this land up here. We were cutting down trees. We were going to build a log house. And then he goes and throws this monkey wrench in and says, I want you to start a church. I've been through that meat grinder. I'm done with the church. It's you and me, Jesus, in the woods. And all of a sudden, it got real silent. My brand new chainsaw worked. My old Ford pickup truck stopped working. Our van stopped working. Even the old Dodge that Pork up there, Pork sold me. What was that, 1965 Dodge Dart? With the rear fender flapped in the wind? No, I did not do that. $100, and he thought he had the best of me. And even that broke. Everything broke, right? So, okay, first there's the instruction, then there's the warning, and then there's the pain, right? And that got real painful. Real painful for about a three-week period until finally I said, okay, yes, Lord, but you have to do it because I am not a promoter. I'm not, you know, you have to do it. And he said, okay, it's a deal. Again, this one of the Lord is all about getting us to say yes, directing us at these forks in our road that he knows which direction we're supposed to take. And in our own pride, for our own reasons, we say no. And next thing you know, bad things are happening. That's the discipline of the Lord. And that's why, you know, Hebrews 12 says, don't get angry at the discipline of the Lord. When he's spanking you, don't get angry about it. Say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me here? If you're in any kind of pain, emotional, physical pain, whatever it is, ask the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? Which path are you trying to get me on? You know? Again, you know, at 28, we put an ad. I put an ad in the paper. We're going to start a church, right? So we start this church, and you know, we're into it about a year and a half. And I say we're going to start a Christian school, right? Well, the vast majority of the church said we don't want a Christian school. That's not our calling. And I said, oh yes, we are, right? So again, you know, warnings, instructions. You know, and I can't go all the way back to all the things, because all these things are complicated, more complicated than we can really just simplify it down to. But the end result was I plowed ahead, and I'm 28. Well, by that time I'm probably 35, maybe 30. Who knows? still pretty young, right? And I said, we're going to do this. And so, you know, we had a church, 150 people, 100 of them left. We had 50 left. Most of them were kids. And we started over again, basically, right? You can't even. And then there was this congregational meeting. That everybody who would ever come to the church showed up, right? And the place was full. Now it wasn't this building; it was what is our lobby now. But it was full of people, And they were angry. How you remember that meeting? You probably weren't here.
I was here.
I remember
when you started it?
Huh?
When you started the school?
No, when we had that congregational meeting.
Oh, yeah, that, I remember that.
Yeah. Your dad said, this is worse than a postal meeting.
Yeah.
His dad was a postal delivery.
He's union shop steward, yeah.
Two guys stood up and said, let's go in the parking lot and settle this. But anyway, I mean, people were screaming and yelling, and Nancy, she almost fainted. She ran down to her parents who lived down the street there and fell into her dad's arms. It was like one of the worst experiences of my life, you know? And again, what was it? It was the discipline of the Lord. Again, I'm learning how to be a leader. I'm learning how to lead the church. I'm learning how to be a pastor. I had to be taught. And, you know, I learned by testing boundaries. I busted through that boundary and got a good whooping. That's how it worked, right? Now, I have no regrets about the school. Cliff is our main... I shouldn't say Maine. I mean, there's other graduates here of the Christian school. But again, you know, and we'll just skip forward 17 years, and the Lord is, and you know, there was years that I didn't get paid so that the Christian school could function. Years. We ultimately sacrificed the church for the existence of the Christian school. And about 15 years into it, the Lord starts talking to me and saying, Rick, this is not your call. This is not what I called you to do, to be a low-cost Christian school. I called you to reach out to the lost and help them come to know Christ. What did I say? No. I had a lot invested in this. I said, the Lord told us to start this school. I had all, people's lives were dependent on it. This, you know, this was a major thing to try to change course. And again, pride says no. And so what did I do? The Christian school was failing financially. It was sucking all the money out of the church. A guy comes into the church. He says, Rick, I can solve all your financial problems. This was 1998. He says, there's this new thing called day trading. And so he got me involved in it, right? And I'm like, holy cow, $25,000 the first year. I don't have, all right. You know? And so I'm going in 98, 99, 2000. I had talked Nancy into borrowing $200,000 against our house so that I could day trade with this money. You all know this ends well, right? This whole time, the Lord's warning me, threatening me. The Lord's, you know, he's instructed me, he's warned me, he's threatened me. Finally, it's okay, Rick, it's time for the pain. Now comes the whooping, the scourging. On our anniversary, 2000, I don't know, how many years is that? 34, 24, I don't know. Anyway, I get a phone call from E-Trade. You have lost all of your money and you owe us $25,000 because you're trading on margin. You don't know what margin is. It's debt. I had to go to Nancy and say, Nancy, you won't believe what happened. It's worse than when I punctured your dad's pool with my mower. And, you know, and so, Nancy being the woman of God that she is, she says, well, then we'll just have to pay it back. So, yeah, we bought our house twice. But the thing is, once you say yes to God, and then I said, okay, that's it. And so then I came to the congregation, and I said, congregation, God's not called me to be the leader of a church whose function is to support a low-cost Christian school. He's called me to preach the gospel, win the lost. We have to make a decision. This is a why in the road. I will gladly leave and go and do what God's called me to do, or I can stay and be here, and we'll do that. Which is it? And the congregation said, we want you to stay. We're going to work a 3-year plan, and we're going to reach the lost. And that's what we've done since 2000. At that time, things turned around for the church. You know, I mean, it was amazing how God, because in that instruction and then there's a warning, and the next step is what? The infliction of pain, the whooping, the scourging, right? In between there is this time where you're in this desperation, this I mean, when that happened, I wanted to kill myself. I thought, I'm worth more than dead than alive. Like, It's a Wonderful Life. I'm worth more dead than alive. You know what Wonderful Life is, right? Jimmy Stewart? Yeah, I'm worth more than, you know, I wanted to die. The emotional was so bad. I just wanted to end it. Right? And so in those darkest moments, when you're in that discipline of the Lord, when you finally say, yes, yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do, that darkness lifts. And all of a sudden, he starts showing you the way out. And you can dig yourself out really quickly with the Lord's blessing, but when he takes his hand off of you after that warning, it's dark. When you've become so used to living in God's blessing, of his just being there constantly, talking with you, leading you, instructing you, and then that's removed because now you've said, no, I'm going to go my way, that is a very, very dark time. And when that blessing of the hand of the Lord comes back on you, it's such a wonderful sensation. It's like, I can, Lord, I don't even know why I ever said no. Now, here's the thing, you know, when it comes to, you know, some of you, I know, have been in this dark time when you've been involved in a divorce, right? I just want to say, you know, that God heals and forgives, but you have been through that darkness. And I can tell you, we don't get into these kinds of disciplines from the Lord unless we have willfully disregarded his instruction, his warning. There are laws of love. The number one being, you never say no to your spouse. You never say no to the Lord. You say yes. And your life is going to be, if you're married, your life is about learning how to say yes to your spouse, no matter what. And having those conversations. Because if you think, oh, I'm married now, I can tell my wife no. I can tell my husband no. You're in for some pain. If you're a believer, God is going to first. He's instructed you. He's warned you. What kind of warnings? Well, first of all, there's the depression. There's the sullenness. There's the misery. There's the not talking to each other. There's the blaming each other. There's the talking bad about your spouse to other people. All that anger and hurt. That's the discipline of the Lord. That's your emotions that are hurting you, that the Lord is saying, do what's right and stop doing what's wrong. Sit down and have a good conversation. Talk it through. So, well, I can't talk to him. I can't talk to her. Well, you got to try. And you got to keep trying and you got to keep trying. And then, you know, and the Bible says if you go to someone and they won't talk with you, then take somebody else with you and talk with them. That could even go to marriage. If your spouse is that hard-hearted that they won't even talk with you, then come to Ted, come to a pastor, come to somebody and say, look, this is not going well. We've got to talk this out. Because I am in this dark place and I know it's not the blessing of the Lord. And the divorce itself, now that's the woman. That is such a dark time. The pain there is almost indescribable. The pain of having to die to a relationship that at one time you thought was the birth of life forever. Am I right? One person agrees with me. All right. Thank you, Dennis. I should wear a Hawaiian shirt myself. But relationships, and again, the discipline of the Lord always comes when we willfully disobey his word, his instruction. Right? I mean, when you're I don't want to do a whole message on marriage, right? I can't do that.
Well, I think it's interesting, you know, because I said that last week about, you know, you have to be relentless in those things.
Yeah.
In your relationship. Well, you know, I tried once and I gave up and it didn't, and it, you know, and I said that last week, you know, with the garden, you know, if you don't weed it, what happens? The weeds just come back. It's not like, well, I did it once and now I'm taking care of it. And I shared that last week and I had the picture up there of my garden beds, which were overthrown with weeds. And I'll tell you this, I'm going to be honest, and this is completely unscripted. When I put that picture up there, I looked over here at Jenny and I saw the look on her face. I'm being serious here. Because I said how Jenny had done the weeding for me and got her nephews, and she said it was my turn. And when I said that and put that up there, I looked over and what I saw was, he didn't do it. Because I said no to my wife. And so this past week, you know, we had a conversation, and, you know, and I appreciate, you know, my wife, you know, who's working in my best interests, to say, this is why we, you know, can you do this? So the last three mornings, I spent out and weeded the garden. I was going to take a picture of them. But you got to stay after those weeds. And I could have said, you know what, no, it's, I want to do what I want to do. It's not worth my time, my effort to weed that garden because it doesn't make any sense to me. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I have to say yes to my wife. And I did it, and guess what? Things were a lot better, right? You know, but this is what life is about, and this is what we have to do in our lives, is continually work at those weeds. And the last 3 days, I'm out there every morning for like an hour. I'm like, Lord, we're pulling the weeds out by the root. Whatever weeds are in my life, Lord, yank them out. I'm submitting to your discipline. That's what life is.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the wonderful thing about it is, you know, I would say Psalm 37 is probably the scripture that's kind of the foundation of my life, my walk with the Lord. It says, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward the wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. That's staying in the conversation, staying at it until you get it resolved. Talk it out with the Lord and with your spouse and with anybody else that you think you love and are committed to. You don't just walk away. You stay with it. You cultivate faithfulness. You dwell in the land.
That's the world's way, is to walk away.
To walk away.
Drop it, be done with it, burn the bridge, and move on.
Let's go on to somebody else who will see it my way.
Right. We do that with spouses. We do that with friendships. We do it with our kids. Yeah. But that's what we have now. Then we have a world full of darkness that doesn't see the value in it.
Right. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that is the verse. When you say yes to the Lord, first of all, he puts the right desires in your heart, and he says yes. It's an amazing life to live when you know that you have said yes to the Lord, and every desire that comes into your heart, he will say yes to you. It's an amazing life. You know, the other day, a kid was at our pool, and they said, "You're so lucky to have a pool." And I said to him, I mean, he's like, what, maybe 8, 9 years old. So I didn't go into a lengthy discussion of Psalm 37, but what but I said, you know, what you're seeing is the blessing of the Lord. And the blessing of the Lord comes from saying yes to him. And he puts desires in your heart, and he says yes to you. There is no way you can explain, hopefully this comes out right, the quality of Maya and Nancy and our family's life, no way to explain it, than to say it is because the Lord said yes to us because we said yes to him over and over and over and over again. Yep. And they weren't always easy yeses. I got whooped many times because I learned by pushing boundaries. That's how I learn. But thankfully, I learn. Right?
Amen.
Trust, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the noonday. You know, here's the thing, you know, you cannot look at God's, if you're a believer and you've said yes to him, you know, one of the things that my heart goes out to is, you know, through this whole pandemic deal going on, You know, the Lord says, do not what's the word I'm looking for? The fellowship of believers.
Neglect.
Do not neglect the fellowship of believers, as is the habit of some. See, if you're a believer and a son of God and you're committed and you've said yes to Him, and now through all this you're saying no to His word that says, don't neglect your fellowship. There will first be an instruction, then there will be a warning and a threat, and then there will be the infliction of pain. Some people will harden their heart. Like, the scriptures are full. The Old Testament, Paul says, is an example of what not to do. How the Israelites hardened themselves against the Lord's discipline, and eventually were broken. So, you know, this whole thing about discipline is ultimately about saying, yes, Lord, I don't know better than you. I'm not going to, that's where I was going with this, Psalm 37. Don't fret over the evildoers, for they will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. In a little while, the wicked man will be no more. And you look carefully, where'd he go? But he's gone. You know, think long term. We're in this with the God of the universe, the great powerful one. You know, we don't have to be fretting and fussing about the politics of the day and what's going on and this and that. Forget it. Think of the long term. God, what are you saying to me now? And if you're in a dark place right now and you're experiencing pain, it's because the Lord is saying to you, what's the last thing you said no to me? Go back there and say yes. And I guarantee you it'll be a tough yes, because you've got all these reasons, all these justifications for saying no. It's going to be a tough yes. And you'll fight with it, maybe for days, maybe for weeks. Where's the last place you said no, Lord? No, I'm not going to talk to my husband. I'm not going to talk to my wife. No, I'm not going to. Where's the last place? Because the pain that you're feeling right now is the discipline of the Lord. And what He wants you to say is, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Lord, where's the last place that I said no? Take me back there. You might have forgot it. Sounds like I'm winding up. What is our time up?
We're getting close.
Okay.
You want to talk about this? Broken? I mean, it kind of goes along with what you're saying right here.
Okay. Okay, that's a picture of a Asian pear tree in our yard, and I don't know how many times the Lord told me to prop that limb up, and I said, I got other things to do. And then, of course, the pears kept getting bigger and heavier, and just like life gets bigger and heavier, and next thing you know, it was no longer able to be. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. That word train there is actually bend. Bend the child in the way he should go. Again, it's direction. Here's a why. Which way should I take him? Which way should I direct him? You know, when I was 17, I didn't want to be a minister. I wanted to be a motorcycle racer. You know, my dad's like, Rick, you're not a good motorcycle racer. You're not even a good mechanic. Why would you want to spend your life doing that? I mean, you know, but, you know, he's trying to bend. He's trying to train, right? Of course, you know me. But anyway, God is trying to bend us and train us so that we don't get broken by the weight of life. That's what I'm saying. You go your own way, you're going to break, because that's what the weight of life does. If you're a believer, if you're a non-believer, the devil is your father. He's taking good care of you. You'll live to a ripe old age. Uh-oh. What? I opened another can of worms. The devil protects his own. Now, here's another thing I want to throw out to you. Okay? We don't want to confuse the attack of Satan to try to stop God's plan in our life. Whenever God calls you to do something, Satan's going to come and try to stop you. Right? Like, go back to the Christian school deal. I thought all that resistance was the devil attacking me and resisting me. There's no question there was evil involved in the hearts of people. Just like Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You know, but at the same time, God's got the devil on a chain, and he's a junkyard dog, you know, on a chain. And you know, that between the warning and the threat and the pain, that's when the junkyard dog bites you in the rear. All right? Satan gets involved in that because he loves to do nasty, dirty stuff. And you don't want to give him that chance. Now, let me say, there are things in the world. We live in a fallen creation. We don't want to confuse the fallen nature of the world and how it affects our health with the discipline of the Lord, right? In other words, I just had a major back surgery. I'm still in recovery from it, right? I don't see that as the Lord's discipline, although he has taught me so much stuff. And through it all, I mean, really, it was an opportunity for Cliff and Jen to rise to where God wanted them to be. But I'm not saying, oh, God wrecked my back so that they could be rising. You know, I mean, you know, we've been working on this for 5 years. But God uses everything for his glory and for his good. And that's the point that I want to make. So we're not saying, oh, God caused me to have bad genes, so I have a bad back, right? But what I am saying, he absolutely allowed it. And as I say yes to him along every turn, it's going to turn out for good. Right. And so, you know, we're all dealing with health issues. Dave Gibson yesterday said, so Rick, how you doing? And I said, you don't ask a 68-year-old man that unless you want like a half-hour dissertation on
I was going to say it before, though, like, because God is in the business of building up. That's what he does. He does not discipline us to crush us or to, I mean, like, you know, because he could ultimately break us if he wanted to. But going back to the Christian school, even as God was warning and directing, were there good things that were coming out of it? Sure, because he's a God who does that.
He's the God who does
it. He still uses it.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's right.
Absolutely. Yep. He's a blesser, right?
Right.
And so I'm talking about, you know, his individual working on us, on you know, on you and on me, how he works on us individually to get us to go on the path that he wants us to go. And other people will be affected, but because he's a good God, he takes care of all that. It's amazing how he can do like 100,000 things at once. I struggle with three, right?
That's why he's God and we're not.
He's God and we're not, yeah. So anyway, you know, the secret to all this, honestly, is to spend time with the Lord, because he puts the desires in our heart first through his word, by spending time with him. The desires in our heart, and then we test them. I test them by writing them down in my journal and bouncing them off Nancy and giving it the test of time. You've got to give it the test of time. You know, an example, you know, I don't know, but I was probably 45 years old, and I just got this hunger to be an elk hunter. I'll go out west elk hunting, you know, and backpacking and stuff, you know, and you know, that's really hard. It's hard, and it got so hard. I mean, I went on several trips, and you know, you've heard my stories on that. And I said, Lord, if this is not a desire from you, just take it away from me. Make it repulsive. Make me hate elk hunting as much as Nancy does. But Lord, if it's of you, then let it grow and let it develop and let it become a thing, right? And, yeah, so, you know, in any case, you know, it's funny because this might be talking out of school a little bit, I don't know, but you all like that. But, you know, this last week, we got an invitation to Nancy's nephew's wedding in Cabo. How do you say that? Is it Cabo? Right? And I'm like, ooh. And she said, but it's my 66th birthday. And I said, well, I know I should never say no. And so then, you know, I said, well, I tell you what, there's this elk hunt that I think that you and I could both go on. Kind of a, was it pro quid pro? Quid pro quo. All right. Well, we both say yes to each other. But it's, you know, the desire grows. It's of God. If you ask God, take this desire away from me. You know, if you're involved in infidelity, if you're involved in homosexuality, you're involved in alcohol, whatever it might be that you know is dragging your life down, say, Lord, make this repulsive to me. Lord, make me hate this as much as you hate it. Work in my heart of desires and put within me the right desire so that I can desire the right things. Because as we were saying last week, as Cliff was saying last week, you get your best life by harnessing your flesh to your spirit. There you go. Harness your flesh. I mean, you can't do much in the world without a body, right? You need your body, but you need your spirit directing you toward the right goal. And you get those two things, you know, like Psalm 32 said, don't be like the horse and the mule who won't accept training. The Word of God says, don't be unequally yoked. Yoke up your flesh to your spirit so that they're both equally committed to God's ways, living His best way, saying yes to Him, and next thing you know, you're living your best life.
Amen.
That's it. That's all I got.
Good. Perfect timing.
Perfect timing. Go ahead.
Want me to do it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, music team, you guys want to come up? Finish my time. So, really, you know, a conversation gives you a thing to think about, but really what we want to do is give you the opportunity right here and now to reflect on that and give you the opportunity to say yes to God. So the question is, are you yielding to God's discipline and understanding that He does it because He loves you and because He's bending you or training you to be your best self? So as the team's coming up, you know, we're going to sing one song here, but what I'd like to do is have everyone here just close your eyes for a minute. You know, if today's a day you're saying yes to a relationship with Jesus, that you're going to submit to His desires, His plans for your life, to bring about the best life that you can have. If you want to say yes to Him, all I'm going to do is ask you to just look at me, raise your hand so I can agree with you. Anybody here making that decision? And if you're watching on live stream, you know, you can do it right where you are. You know, we'll agree with you. Anybody here saying yes to Jesus today? Okay. Second question, maybe along with that then, is there an area in your life where you know God's been speaking to you, and you said no to this point, but today's a day you're saying, nope, Lord, I'm saying yes to you in that issue, whatever it is that I've, that desire that either your instruction or the desire that I have that's not from you. So if you're encountering some situation like that, just raise your hand. Okay. Yep. Okay. All right, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. We'll just speak to the Lord from our hearts, knowing that He hears us because He's a relational God. And so let's go to Him and commit this to Him, shall we? Repeat this after me if you would. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you that you have my best interests in mind.
Thank you that you have my best interest in mind.
Lord, I've tried to do it my own way.
Lord, I've tried to do it my own way.
But you're training me and bending me.
But you're training and bending me.
To go your way.
To go your way.
Today, Lord.
Today, Lord.
I submit to you.
I submit to you.
Thank you for your discipline.
Thank you for your discipline.
Because you love me. So, Lord, I give you every desire.
I give you every desire.
Remove the ones that are not from you.
Remove the ones that are not from you.
Lord, thank you that you give me the grace.
Thank you that you give me the grace.
And the courage.
And the courage.
To say yes to you.
To say yes to you.
Wherever you take me.
Wherever you take me.
Knowing, Lord.
Knowing, Lord.
It will lead me
to the abundant life. To the abundant life.
Thank you for doing it, Lord.
Thank you for doing it, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.